Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Hazel Runs Her Mouth. I'm here, as always, with two of the most handsome men in Milwaukee.
Aww.
Artrell, big, you lie. Hey, to me, you guys are handsome. So I have Artrell, Chocolate Thunder, Big City Jones, and Michael, the WWE Encyclopedia Eisler. Now, most weeks we've been talking about wrestling and basketball and the coronavirus. And today I thought, you know what? We ain't going to do that. No, no, no. No, 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 no. We're going back to our roots. We are going back to something that has been with us from the get-go all the way through, that each one in this room has turned to. Music. Music.
I got one thing to say about music. Does anybody know if Annie is okay?
We don't know if Annie is okay. This is what brought it up. You see, the other evening, me and Mike were listening to some Queen and we're listening to some Michael Jackson. And he pointed out we never did find out from Michael Jackson if Annie is okay. So I posted up on Facebook, and bear in mind, there was a reason I posted it as well. I have about 3 females on my Facebook friends who are called Annie, and I was desperately waiting for one of them to say, yes, I'm okay. So I posted up, you know, it's been 25 years. Is that, does anybody know if Annie's okay? She's been hit by a smooth criminal. So we're like, okay, we waited, and I just had people, oh my God, now I got to watch Smooth Criminal and all this stuff. But nobody actually answered the question. So none of the Annies even answered it. So I thought what we would do for tonight's show is let's go back to what we like, and that was music.
Can somebody please call into the show and verify if Annie is okay?
Yeah, if you know if Annie is okay, could you please call us at 845-277-9360? That's 845-277-9360, and let us know if Annie is okay. I'm pretty sure they are. It's been 25 odd years, yeah. And I mean, you heard Michael Jackson when he sung it. He actually yelled, Annie, Annie, are you okay? And what did people do? They kept singing. No one answered the question. So what I thought we would do is go back. Let's go back in time to when we were kids. And I'm on about 10 and under. For me, my musical influences when I was like up 10 and under, I was really into a British group called Adam and the Ants. I was into a band called UB40. And some of you may remember UB40 sang a song called Red, Red Wine. I don't know if you know that one. Red Wine. That one. And I was very much into like lots and lots of pop and everything that was going on at the time. Also a huge Michael Jackson fan as well. You know, back when he had his original face.
Actually, we had it back then. Yeah, had a nose job by that point in time.
Well, I'm on about when I was 10 and under. We guys were back to the 70s.
Okay.
Well, you showing it back.
Yes. Let's be honest. We were. Who was it, Mike? What comedian was it who said, and we haven't got to worry about whether Michael Jackson was into boys. He wasn't into boys. He could take your woman.
That,
yeah. That whole skit, oh my God, was hilarious.
It was like, Mike ain't fucking those kids. He may be fucking y'all wives.
Because let's be honest, we've seen the footage of people at Michael Jackson's concert, and they lost their damn minds. Now, I will say this. I went to an MJ concert with my older brother. This was my older brother before we even got into the concert. We're traveling up there by train. He went, when we get in there, he went, you will not be screaming. You will not be fainting. You will not be acting a fool. You do any of those things, I'm kicking you out, and you're paying me back the money for the ticket. So I remember we were in there, and we were like, I want to say, we weren't close. We were quite a ways back, but we were still on the ground level. And this woman next to us was going on about how she knew she was going to catch Michael Jackson's eye because she was destined to be married to him and everything. And I just remember the look my brother gave her was like, bitch, please. And literally, the lights flash about 5 minutes before the show's about to start. And women started screaming right away. You know, going crazy. You saw people at the front being pulled out who fainted. Dude, they ain't gone on stage yet.
You spent all that amount of money to go see this motherfucker. He even out on stage yet, and your ass already got passed out.
Yeah. So, he came out. So, this is the thing. He came out on stage, and the stage was dark. Okay. Pitch black. you could just vaguely make out his outline. But this is the thing. The way he was standing, he was actually standing in a similar position at the time to one of his guitar players. So you even really couldn't be sure. I mean, with hindsight looking back, now I know it was MJ. But if you think about it, you didn't even know if that was Michael Jackson or not, and you were screaming and losing your mind.
And yet, you know, MJ can control the crowd. He didn't even got to say nothing. He was standing there. I've seen his concert. He could stand there and not say a word, and the crowd had lost it.
Well, it was funny because he basically did the similar thing you remember on the movie about Selena, where the stage was collapsing and all the fans are pushing forward, and she goes, and hush silences the crowd. He did that during the concert. He was, like, talking, and there was a slight issue with the microphones. You could hear him getting staticky. So he slowed everything down, and he went to everybody, put his hand up, and was like, and the crowd went silent, except for this few women who were still screaming. And he just went, I'll carry on singing if you'll all be quiet right now. And he did. He literally got 30,000 fans in an arena to shut up. And that was the problem, because then I lost my mind right away, because that strum of the first chord of Dirty Diana, I swear to God, the look my brother gave me, the fact I'm still alive today is a testament to his restraint. But he did whack me upside the head, and he went like this. I remember I started screaming. He slapped me, and I looked at him, and he went, I told you.
Okay, he was on stage. Some good flashes like, no, say something.
Bye.
Didn't you? So I learned of my decision, and I've learned one way. I've learned the deep expression, but I love way. Look, miss some tissue. Tito, stop teasing. Well, and that was the thing. It was funny because there were women who were flashing him and everything, and you had security going up to him going, put that away. You could see your mouth like pointing and going, but you know damn well they were taking phone numbers, because women are handing over phone numbers and security is like, yep, thank you, thank you, thank you. But, you know, all joking aside and everything, that was one thing that me and my brother had that was ours, you know, was that concert. Now, admittedly, I fucked up when I got a little bit older, you see, because says my hero Freddie Mercury, as many people know, he died of HIV. Actually, it was full blown AIDS. And they had a tribute concert to him, which was to raise money for a foundation that Freddie Mercury's boyfriend Jim started with Freddie's former fiance and the rest of band members of Queen. So all the money raised from this concert was going to that for AIDS research and everything. And you see, well, there was a little issue in the sense I got told that, no, I couldn't go when I asked if I could go. And my dumbass went anyway, but that wouldn't have been so bad if I hadn't danced behind one of the announcers of the BBC while they were doing a report and waved at the camera. I'd never live it down when you do.
I wonder what I'm thinking about BBC for.
The BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation. It does not mean big black something or others. Anywho, but that was another concert that was absolutely amazing, and I was relatively controlled. I danced along and sang and everything. And then people were mentioning that Axl Rose was there. And so I was waiting. I'm thinking, what song is he going to come out? And I honestly thought he was going to come out and do We Will Rock You. You know, because that's a kind of an upbeat song, do you know what I mean, that he could do. And so, you know, Elton John started singing Bohemian Rhapsody. And then I lost my ever-loving mind. Seriously, when Axl Rose came out and started singing, oh, the crowd went wild, I went wild. I went home sunburnt with my voice lost. Now, let's... Got my ass whooped, yeah. Yeah. But who is, I'll start with you, AJ. Who is your go-to music, or has there been a style of music that you've gone to, or a particular person that just can uplift you?
Like I said, like a long time ago, I wasn't into music until I was 13.
Okay, we'll start from then.
Like, I hear it and stuff, like, when I was a kid or whatever. But, yeah, I wasn't really into music until I was 13. The person that was, you know, my favorite, I've seen him in concert. And the crazy thing was, the girl I came here with drew her bra at him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That ain't me. I'll just point out that was
not
me. Because whoever, if it was a DMX.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, if I threw my bra at DMX, he'd still be trying to get out of it right now because he's such a short little guy.
I'm looking at her like, oh, my God. Like, imagine it was me on stage. Like, what the hell?
No, you'd be picking up those bras. You'd be like, is there a phone number on this kitty? But let's be honest. There's, you know, music has helped everybody in so many different ways. It's helped you, like, when you're angry. It's funny because the people downstairs said to me one day, do you play Metallica when you're angry? And I'm like, no. Like, oh, we just thought that you were angry and that's why you were playing Metallica. No, I was playing Metallica because I like the songs. You know? No, but his 900 Greatest Hits is available on an 8-track cassette, right? So this is the thing. Let's be perfectly honest. Mike has already mentioned before, he's a big... MJ fan, he's a big Elvis fan, and his music collection on his phone is just like crazy and weird. And it was, oh my God, we were at Matthew's birthday, and I said to him, bring your speaker with you, because you've got like lots of, was it my speaker? Oh yeah, it was my little one. I said, but we're going to hook you into the Bluetooth on it so we can listen to music. So, we're sitting there, my mother-in-law is there. And what freaking song starts up, Mike?
Well, which one are we talking about? I think I know which one you're talking about, but I'm not.
When you be stroking.
Oh, Clint Carter.
In front of my mother-in-law. I have never been so embarrassed. And the fact that she sat there, she's like, yeah, we were be stroking at that time too. It's like, oh my God.
Welcome to the jungle.
You know what? That could be a possibility.
It was by his
kid came out of that song.
Yep.
Good hell, well. AJ Tom was laying on the bed. His dad come walking in with the piss suit on, and on the stereo was playing, when I start making love, I don't just make love, I be stroking. I'm in last go ahead, kids, the pop walked in, I be stroking. Wearing nothing but a hat with a feather in it.
Quite possibly. But yeah, I mean.
You know how many black people put this back in the dick from this town alone?
Oh, you know the other.
The whole song is just about fucking. That's all it is.
And you know the other dude whose songs would play. play when men wanted to get some from their woman? Barry White.
Oh, yeah. All the women like the boys.
Hell, Barry White. Hell, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Marvin Gaye. All you need to hear is, let's get it on. Oh, baby, let's get it on. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with some more, but we are going to play an MJ song as we started with him. Welcome back. So we're talking about music and the influences and everything who's been, you know, our go-to and the such. Like, was there anybody else who, like, really, apart, I know Aaliyah was another big favorite of yours. And it always just makes me wonder with some of these artists who died too soon exactly where the music industry would be now if they were around. Because to me it seems as though in regards to, like, some of the females who passed away over, you know, the past two decades, is that we lost a lot of, and I don't want to say wholesome artists because that's not what I mean, but some of the ones who probably would have had such a good positive influence over the music industry. You know, let's be honest, Aaliyah, phenomenal musician, great dancer and everything. And I think she would have definitely been the type who would have steered, you know, some of the younger artists we got now in a different path to where they're on.
Maybe they would have, well, some of the nonsense R&B and pop wouldn't be playing if she was still alive. That would be my opinion.
Right, because I think when we lost her, we lost one of the last R&B artists.
Right.
You know, and that's the sad part, is that we had amazing, let's be honest, you go back to the 90s, R&B was just, it was the best. Yeah, it just, I would say from about 2005 onwards is when it started to decline really rapidly. And we've lost that now. We don't, let's be honest, even when you had rappers like, remember LL Cool J, he would do the licking and, you know, all that stuff. And he was smooth with some of his songs. You know what I mean? And we've lost that. We've lost that romantic side of, to me, we've lost that romantic side of music. It's all really harsh and really aggressive now. And I think that's, to me, is what's missing, is that we don't have, you know, the traditional love songs. You know, you can't pick an artist from right now and say, this person has songs that make you want to take your partner to bed with you and make love to that song. Yes. You've got One Night Stand music going on right now. All right. Let's be honest. Throw on some Boys to Men, all that type of shit, and you guarantee you're going to get a good time with your woman.
Yeah. Not now.
No, it's just completely changed. So, do you obviously you were in the bathroom or having a cigarette or doing whatever it was you were doing. But don't you agree that we have lost that good R&B music? And that's what we're saying, is that we went from having a lot of music that you could have put a romantic night on with your girl or your man and stuff and have some good music playing, and then we went from lovemaking music to one-night stand music. And that's the whole thing, is that I think music has played such an influence on how people view relationships and how they want relationships to go. Everybody is looking for the next hookup. Everybody is like looking for a backup plan in case what's going on now fails. You know what I mean? There's no one wants to work at sitting down and test, you know, working through issues to make things last. And, you know, sadly, I think people don't realize that music plays such a big part in that and influences so much of that. No one's saying you can't have a song, you know, about, you know, that makes you think of one night stands and stuff. But, you know, you get songs from like Ed Sheeran and, you know, others who sing like him. And then people are like, oh, he's got to be gay. He's weak. He's, you know, he's got no talent and all this stuff. And it's like, why? Because he's singing in a different way to how you want it to be? You know what I mean? It's gone from, you know, where the power of a good singer was in the ballads. You remember, you know, you go back to the 80s and the 90s. You were a good group or a good singer, whatever, if you put out that power ballad. Could someone please reply to me? Okay, no. I'll carry on by myself then. So if you had this big power ballad that came out, the power ballads was the ones that, you know, basically cemented you a lot of times in women's music side of things. And so you would have, like, Poison release Every Rose Has Its Thorn. Guns N' Roses released Sweet Child of Mine and Patience. You know, there was these big power ballads by certain artists that really did, you know, rev things up. Boyz II Men did their I'll Make Love to You. That was their big power ballad. And we don't get that from artists now. They had, it was both of them. But they had other songs. What I'm saying is they used to hook in the female audience with those ballads.
So it seems like we don't even have that now.
Because I don't think there's anybody really out there musically wise that has the talent to write that type of song. I mean, just as an example, it took four songwriters to write Bohemian Rhapsody, and that was the four members of the group. That included the lyrics and the music. We all know that Bohemian Rhapsody is freaking phenomenal when it comes to lyrics, music, the way it switches. Okay. Beyonce's If You Like It Then You Should Have Put a Ring on It, that one, took nine writers to write the lyrics for that song. Nine writers. That's without the music all added to it. And I think that's the problem, is that Beyonce's got the voice to sing. But you've also got to have people who could write songs as well. Not be like you and I, or the three of us, throwing together a few words and then handing it over and say, here, sing this.
Right.
You know, even when you go back to rappers and stuff in the day, you got Biggie did a lot of his own stuff. Tupac did a lot of his own stuff. You know, LL Cool J did a lot of his own stuff. All of those lot did, you know, worked on their own to make their own music. Their lyrics, when you sit down and listen to them, we all know from Ice-T and Ice Cube's groups that they were with and everything, that it was based on their experiences and where they came from, what they witnessed, what they saw, and all this lot. And now we've got a bunch of female rappers talking about how wet their pussy is and dripping it everywhere. And you've got half the male rappers are talking about how high they're getting. You know, we've lost that story in between.
Like the rap, talk about how high they are. They also talk about I did this, I did, I robbed somebody, I sell drugs and all that stuff. It's like you can do that on one song, but like
you can't do it on every fucking song, right? I mean, and yeah, you've got, like, let's be honest, there were some of MJ's songs that were based loosely based around people and events that happened. Weren't Billie Jean based around a woman who says that she had a kid by one of his brothers?
By him.
Then Dirty Diana, I remember, was about a groupie, like, used to follow him around everywhere. Smooth Criminal, obviously, was about that woman who was on Dr. Phil. No one has responded to whether Annie is okay or not. No. But then, you know, you go on to, you know, today and everything, and as you say, all you've got is, I robbed this person, I fucked this person, I did this drug, I did that drug, I'm getting drunk on this, I'm getting high off that.
Being flashy, like, this is what I got.
Yeah.
You know damn well that you ain't got a dime to your name.
You still living in your mama's house.
It's the thing that gets me. It's not even the thing. Just come out and say it. Like, back in the day with male groups,
Temptation, prime example. They told you in the lyric what the hell the song was going to be. I got sunshine on a cloudy day, but it's cold outside. I got the month of May. I guess you say, what can make you feel this way? My girl. That's what the hell the song was going to be about.
He was telling you how his girl made him feel.
Yeah, to Wayne, talking about drugs, going to get your money, little duffel bag boy. What the hell is a duffel bag boy? What is that?
Exactly.
And then somebody we're having to explain it to me. I've been looking at those duffel bags, boy. That's like, oh, that's the guy that goes down and gets his money. Okay, why don't you just say that then?
You know.
If that's what the song is about, a guy making his money, then say that's what it is. You don't have to say that a little duffel bag boy. That could be anything. It could be a duffel bag that got workout clothes in. It could be a duffel
yep.
bag that put clothes in to go on vacation.
To the laundromat.
Just come out and say it. That if you're a guy that's making money and you put that duffel bag, then come out and say it.
And it's like somebody actually asked Metallica about Enter Sandman, where he got the idea from that from. And that actually has to do with his kid. His kid had nightmares. And he told his child that, you know, when you go to sleep at night, Sandman's going to come and take you to your dreams. And it terrified his kid even more. And so he wrote a song about it. And if you listen to it, it's not a nice, you know, gentle song. It's a rough-ass song that gives you nightmares. But that makes sense. Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine, was written for the woman Axl Rose was dating at the time, which was the daughter of one of the Everly brothers. Her name was Erin, 60s group.
Oh.
And that song was written about her and his relationship with her. And when you hear it, you know, he's describing her. You know, it's all those things. And as I say, nowadays it's like nothing's left to the imagination. It's like, his dick makes my pussy wet. Well, what, you know, there's no explanation into that. We know what you're saying.
Well, that kind of started out with Too Short. Because, you know, he always do songs about sex and...
Right, but the thing is it's okay. We're not saying it's not okay to have songs about sex. Because, let's be honest, we've heard about, you know, I'd be stroking. We know that was about sex. Do you know what I mean? Every generation's got that. We've all got that, you know. It's like Frankie Goes to Hollywood with Relax. He got banned in England because they admitted that Relax, don't do it when you want to step to it. Relax, don't do it when you want to come. It's about sex.
Really?
Yes, it is. And the come part, isn't like come over here, it's come. It got banned in England because of that.
I never knew that.
So there's, you know, each generation has got that. So that's not a thing, you know, that's too... Yes, Mike, over there in the corner.
Let me get this straight. They banned a song like that, but they got no problem showing female private parts on British television.
Nope. Anywho. So one of the things is that when you you start breaking it down and stuff, is that we have lost that. To me, it's like we've got a whole generation and we're growing up in a very harsh environment right now. We have. That's basically it. Because I used to love it. You used to put those R&B songs. This is me when I left home. My days off from work, I used to crank up my CD player, put on that R&B, and I'd be
stroking
by myself. Yeah, I probably was by myself stroking, to be perfectly honest.
I guess that's where that song came out.
Yeah. I don't know anybody else. When I think about you, I touch myself. They did, didn't they? Anywho, I used to like crank up my music on my days off. I'd be clean. And you tell me this ain't true. You were raised by black women, okay?
Right.
I know it's slightly different for you, Mike, because you was raised by your grandma. But But tell me your mom didn't also do this. You'd have that day where you'd have the music cranked up. You'd have those good old R&B songs going. And we'd be dancing while we cleaning, singing really loudly, and all that stuff. But, you know, it's changed a lot. It really has. So. So I'm just going to play another song and we will be back.
Hey, we apologize. we apologize with the silence for that moment. We're still going to talk about music and all that stuff. Like, you have with music today, and she's back.
Yeah.
Are we saying with music today, you have, what you have? You have F That B, or you have...
It's very aggressive. And very, it seems like bitter. Do you know what I mean? Like, nobody's really, to me it's like, no one's really, it sounds like they've experienced anything good in their lives, to be perfectly honest with you.
Like, they just woke up every day bitter.
Yeah. Like, there's no one who's loved them or given their heart to them or anything. It's like, I hopefully know, you know, when you think of me, you may think of certain songs, and it's not going to be fuck that bitch, fuck that hoe. Maybe when I pissed you off, but, you know, it's not going to be like that. And I hope, you know, it's like that with other people, that, that, you know, you think of a good song. But I don't think that, I think what we've got is we've got a whole lot of people who were born, I want to say from 1990 onwards, who weren't raised around, you know, all that good R&B, because they were too little at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a way, I was lucky in the sense that I was raised with a mom and dad who liked so many varieties of music. And the good thing is that with you, you like so many varieties of music.
Right.
Mike likes so many varieties of music. And between the two of you, you've got every group, every bass covered and stuff that I like. You know, and the other way around. I've introduced you to a couple of artists and songs and stuff that you didn't know about because they were predominantly English that never got over here. That you were like, out you. So you were like, you know what, that ain't bad. That ain't, you know, that really isn't that bad. Yes. We have jammed out to Sesame Street, let's be perfectly honest. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Anywho. But it's like, you know, you could go to, if you went to any of our playlists and everything of what we listen to, it's so broad, you know, varies and everything. It's not, you know, one set lot of music. And it was, that is true, you do have commercials on your playlist. But it was like, when we came back from shopping a few weeks back, the guy who lives like a couple of doors down was listening to music, and we were like, oh, I haven't heard that in years. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But then when you got the cars that park up outside here, it's the same stuff over and over and over and over.
Right.
And it's like, that's what I'm saying. It's the same song over and over and over because that's all it sounds like.
And it's sad that, you know, you got this generation that's following. Not saying, I have nothing against rap music. It's just the rap music today.
Right.
That's just. It's just bad.
And what I really like is there's these two guys on YouTube, two black kids, they must be in their like late teens, who will actually video that, record themselves watching certain songs that people have said to them. And I sent Mike the one where the two kids are watching Elvis Presley's song In the Ghetto for the first time. And they were blown away by it. They're like, how did we not know about this song and everything? And I thought it was really good and started watching some of their other ones. Like, they listened to Bohemian Rhapsody, they listened to Neil Diamond, because they'd only ever heard Sweet Caroline at certain sporting events and stuff. They listened to a bunch of old 60s songs and everything. And you know, it was great because their reactions was like, oh, why did I never hear this? You know, no one ever plays this. And they said, no one ever makes music like this anymore. We need this music back. They did that with Coming in the Air.
Yeah.
because they've lost their minds with that drum beat.
Yeah.
And but it's stuff like that that's like, you know, at least they're listening to what people say. Go and listen to this one. And they're doing it, and they're admitting themselves, okay, we haven't got any really good music like that out there. And, you know, let's be honest, we've got people like Nelly and Usher and Neo and stuff who did provide that type of music who have now stepped back. They've gone into the producing side and got into, you know, helping other artists and stuff. But it's like, but where we still need that. You know damn well if Michael Jackson was still alive, he'd still be going up on that stage going, "So I've learned." You know, we'd still be having people screaming at him. That man could be 150 years old and rolled out in a damn wheelchair, and women would still be screaming, throwing their panties at him.
Exactly.
You know, it's as simple as that. And we have lost, you know, all of that. We've lost the fact that people, you know, no longer want to look around and find other music. You know what I mean?
We got ratchet music.
We do have ratchet music. Yeah, talking over sampled music. And that is very true.
That's more like my CD collection. Well, most of it, like, some of the stuff I wouldn't get because, like I said, they all about ratchet and stuff. Especially some of these underground artists that you think if they're going to be the next big thing, they still talk about the same thing.
And the one thing that's been said is that I'm glad that my son is more into the rock side of things, and he's actually more into independent rock artists and everything. And, you know, he actually listens to a lot of other stuff that's not rap. But okay, on that note, we're nearly at the end of the show. Do you want to tell everybody what's coming up next week?
Of course, you guys, WFSO Aftermath this Monday. Talk about our original thing about wrestling. And Tuesday, I get to interview this pretty lady right here. So that would be interesting for 30 minutes.
Maybe interesting for you. I don't know about anybody else wants to hear about my life. But anywho, carry on.
You never know. And we got this show again next Wednesday.
But on that note, we are going to play out the way we started and the way we've been playing music all through this. And that's with a little bit more of MJ to close out the show. I'm actually going to play one of my favorite songs of his. It's not Dirty Diana, but it is one of my favorite songs of his. So it's a goodbye from me, a goodbye from Artrill.
Goodbye.
A goodbye from Mike. You turn up the peace sign. And we will catch you all next week. Nakupenda pia, nakutaka pia, penzi wewe.